بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. This is the 3rd of Shawwal, 1445, which is the 12th of April in 2024. The current death toll in Gaza stands at over 34,000, with another 75,000 plus injured, and who knows how many bodies under the rubble, unaccounted for. And today we're reflecting on a verse from the Quran, where God Almighty says, "Wallahu ya'lamu al-mufsida min al-muslih." God knows the one who works corruption from the one who sets right. God knows the one who works corruption from the one who sets right. And there are many places where we see manifest corruption. Obviously, the situation in Gaza is one of them. Many other political situations around the world. But also at varying levels of human existence and experience. You have governments, for example, that will oftentimes, in the name of economic development, do very corrupt things. In the name of national security, do very corrupt things. In the name of self-defense, do very corrupt things. You'll have sometimes parents who, in the name of raising their children or guiding their children, will actually be corrupting and hurting and harming their children. You have teachers who, in the name of the intellectual or spiritual development of their students, will actually be corrupting or harming their students. And many other places, maybe you have individuals who think that they are doing something beneficial for themselves and for their life, but in reality they're causing harm to themselves. So sometimes these are very manifest things, you know, they're actually just evil and they're being called good out of a high level of corruption. And sometimes people are actually intending to do something good, but what they're actually doing is not good. So how do we end up in this place of lack of guidance? How do we end up in this place where we can't tell the difference between what is good and what is bad? The essential faculty of the human being that helps us to distinguish these matters is the heart. And the person who does not pay attention to the heart, does not put effort into rectifying the heart, does not put effort into eliminating bad qualities, thinking properly, analyzing things in a way that is sound, that is not subject to one's personal desires and wants and fears and hopes and anxieties and all of these type of things, it has to be purified at some level. And the one who doesn't do that, then they will always see things for other than they are. And that's why Pharaoh is reported in the Quran to have said to his people, وَمَا أَهْدِيكُمْ إِلَّا سَبِيلَ الرَّشَادِ. And I only guide you to the path of righteousness. It's actually possible that he really felt that he really thought that what he was doing was good and right. And this, of course, is a scary thing. But it reminds us that Allah says in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Successful is the one who purifies it, and devastated is the one who leaves it to be sullied or dirtied, meaning in the reference here is to the soul, to the heart of the human being, to the nefs, to the base self of the faculty inside of the person that is able to distinguish between right and wrong. The thing that animates human existence, the soul or the heart. So the one who purifies it is successful. And the one who leaves it to be corrupted and to be messed up, then they will be very much devastated. And Allah says, لَقَدَ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ رَدَّدَنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. That we created human beings in the best of forms, and then we returned them to the lowest of the low. So human beings have this tremendous capability. And then the question becomes, what side am I going to stand on? Am I going to be mufsid, or am I going to be muslih? Am I going to be one who works corruption, or am I going to be one who sets things aright? They're very interesting words. One is the person who corrupts things. Basically, things can be put in the right way. They have a way that they should be put together. They have a way that they should come together. And when they come together properly and soundly, then everything is good and everything has been set aright. Or set right. opposite of that is to corrupt things and to break them. So one of these tendencies is the tendency to break things, and to tear them apart. And one of them is the tendency to put things back together and to keep them sound and to keep them right. And so which side am I going to be on? And how am I going to know which side I'm on? Because Allah also says in the Quran that some people, it said to them that don't cause corruption in the earth. لا تفسدوا في الأرض. And they say, rather we are the ones who are setting it right. أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Rather, they are the ones who are corrupting it, but they don't realize it. They don't recognize it. They don't have enough feeling to be able to realize what's actually going on. So we have to develop this heart. And we have to remember that Allah knows the ultimate reality of these things. And so here, in conclusion, there's three major points. Number one is that when something is happening right in front of us, it is God who knows the actual reality of if this is a good thing or a bad thing. So again, you might have someone, for example, that in the name of self-defense slaughters an entire people, killing women and children, innocent people, destroying hospitals, destroying universities, all of these kind of things. And Allah knows al-mufsid min al-muslih. He knows the one who works corruption and the one who sets things aright. So he knows that. That's the immediate reality, and there's no escaping that. As I always say, you cannot play games with God. There's no escaping the reality that's in front of us. So that's point number one. Point number two is, sometimes there's something in front of us that's the immediate reality, but there's a long-term reality that perhaps we're not aware of. And part of having iman, part of belief, and part of knowing that human beings are inherently good and that Allah controls everything in existence is to have some level of hope and belief in that. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca, when the Muslims are being oppressed, he prays to God and he asks God to guide one of the two Amrs. One of the two Amrs here is referring to either Abu Jahl, who was and came to be the arch enemy in a sense of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the other option is Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And both of them were actually people who were against the Muslims at that time and people who were doing bad things to the Muslims at that time. So the immediate reality of things is that both of these people are people who are working corruption. But what is the long-term reality of this? The Prophet knows that only God knows that. And so he says, guide which one of them, whichever of these two is basically more beloved to you, or whichever of these two there's more good in. And Allah decreed that it would be Umar ibn Khattab who's guided, right? And we know from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what happened afterwards that tremendous, tremendous, tremendous good came from the guidance of Umar. And so there's not only an immediate reality but a long-term reality to God knows those who work corruption and those who set things aright. The last point is a little bit of the history around this verse. So actually it starts off where Allah says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْيَتَامَ قُلْ إِصْلَاحٌ لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ وَإِنْ تُخَالِتُوهُمْ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْمُفْسِدَ مِنَ الْمُصْلِحِ وَلَوْ شَاءُ اللَّهُ لَأَعْنَتَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. He says, they ask you about the orphans. So this is the backstory here. They ask you about the orphans. Say, setting things aright for them is best. And if you mix with them, then they are your brothers. And Allah knows the one who works corruption from the one who sets things aright. Very surely Allah is Almighty, All Wise. So what's happening here? It seems that there was some sort of understanding amongst the Arabs. Of course, the orphan is someone who's in need. And the orphan would often have someone who is responsible for their wealth. And many times that would be kind of like properties in agriculture and things like this, and then also animals, domesticated animals. And the Arabs seem to have had this understanding that when you're responsible for the wealth of an orphan, it's a really bad thing to waste it. And so sometimes they would be so careful about it that they would actually end up separating the orphans from themselves. So they wouldn't share food with them, they wouldn't share animals with them, they wouldn't do all of this kind of stuff, because they want to make it very clear, this is the orphan's property and this is my property. But actually what would happen as a result of that is that the orphan would be hurt, right? So this is a really interesting point. It's sometimes like in the name of doing what's right or what's good, we can go so extreme that it actually is counterproductive. So they would go so extreme in this that it would actually hurt the orphans. Maybe the fruits are going bad on the tree because they won't mix with it. Maybe the animals are going unused, you know, all of these kind of things. And maybe these orphans themselves are being separated from everyone else and they don't feel the kind of emotional and social connection that they should feel, right? So Allah says to them, setting things aright is best. So He gives them the principle. Okay, so you have this situation. The principle is you want to make things right. You want to do right by them. And then He says, and if you intermix with them, so here now is the issue, is that it's not clear if you don't understand the history. What He's saying is like, you might mix your property, you might mix your animals and your food and all of these kind of things. He says, if you do that, then they are your brothers. So understand that this is the reality of this relationship, that you're like brothers to each other. And then Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْمُفْسِدَ مِنَ الْمُصْلِحِ. That someone might look on the outside and think that you're causing corruption, but you're actually not. You're helping them. And God knows the reality of that situation. So the third point here is to recognize that when we're dealing with the world, there is a practicality to how the prophetic teachings come to play out in the world. Meaning, the people who are trying to do good cannot be so divorced from reality that they're not able to actually deal with reality. The people who are trying to do good have to do the impossible, which is they have to understand fully the world that they're dealing with. They have to understand the reality of the world that they're dealing with. They have to know the overarching principles that govern how it is that they're supposed to act with the world. So they have to know, for example, that the ultimate goal is to set things right. They have to know, for example, that they are your brothers. These are the principles in the verse. And at the same time, they have to not exceed the bounds, and they have to not cross the limits. But sometimes we have to get in the weeds a little bit. And when we get in the weeds a little bit, things are not always going to be clear. And sometimes people might look at it from the outside, not knowing the whole picture, and think that there's something going on there that might not be fully right. Whereas in reality, the only way to make things fully right was to be in the weeds a little bit and to do what needs to get done and to deal with reality and to be a source of good in the world. And that requires us to embrace that tension, and it requires us to get into that space. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the same time that they dealt with all of the most real situations, they also managed to know who they were and what their principles were. So that if we go back to the very beginning, they were people who intended to do good and actually did good. And this is the ultimate goal of the ultimate goal is to know God. But in knowing God and following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are then able to actually do good in the world, because the doing of good in the world is known through the prophetic guidance. And so when we turn to Allah and when we connect to the prophetic guidance and we get down in the weeds with the people, with the reality, with the economic, social, political challenges of the real world, but we are forces of good in that real world, then inshallah, much good and khair will come from that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq and to protect us and our loved ones. We ask Allah to give victory to the oppressed, to give aid to the suffering, to give food to those who are hungry, to give shelter to those who are shelterless. We ask that Allah gives us the divine guidance and providence to always be on the side of the oppressed and always to be on the side of what is good and what is important. Allahumma ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.